Good evening.
Good evening. To be here.
Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come into your presence. Lord, we've missed being able to be together so much. And we just pray, Lord, that as we gather, that you would meet with us, you would draw close to us, you would speak to us and bless us. Encourage us, Lord, as we spend time in prayer with you. Speak to us as we gather around your word and pray that you would just be with us now in the short time that we have together. But we ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I've actually been stung twice this summer, I'm assuming, by wasps. Don't know what else they were, if they weren't wasps, but So I've had two stings this summer, which is quite a lot for me, but it's not a record because many years ago when I was in the Scouts, I had a bit of a tangle with a wasp's nest and I ended up in hospital. I think I was stung about 18 times that on Scout camp once. But the first time this summer, it was after one of our conference calls, and I put the phone down. Amanda was about to have a Zoom call with some of the people from Alpers. I ran a bath. I was about to step in the bath and I trod on a wasp in the bathroom, and I let out a scream and I was dancing around the bathroom, and Amanda came in and I've never seen her look quite so much like a mother. She said, "I'm about to pray." No concern about the scream that she did in the bathroom, just about the fact that she was due to pray.
They asked me to pray for the children's work. And the person, we had a list that we were going through, so the person that was before me was praying, and this blood-curdling yell came out of the bathroom next door, and I just, what's going on?
Well, anyway, the second time was, yesterday I was out jogging, and I felt something on my neck, and I brushed it away, and it stung me before it went. But it did just remind me of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says this: "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain." Well, I wonder why is it that death is such a terrible thing for us? Why is it so painful? Why do we dread it? You know, death should be as natural as breathing, really. Birth and death are the two common experiences that everyone in the human race, everyone who has ever lived, experienced. They're the two things that go hand in hand, if you like, but they are the two things that everyone experiences. But somehow death doesn't seem a natural thing to us, does it? Death is a predator. It stalks us, and people dread it. Why is that? Well, the reason for that is that death is not a natural thing. It's not a natural state at all. It's a consequence of something that wasn't part of God's creation and God's design. Death is the consequence of sin. That's why Paul says, "O death, where is your sting?" He also says the power of sin is the law. But what does he mean by all that? Well, it means that the law holds up an example to us of God's perfect standards, of a standard that if we could fulfill, we could earn eternal life. But the terrible thing is that we know we can't live up to those standards. We can't earn eternal life. Therefore, the law is held up to us, and all the law does is condemn us. The law holds up a standard that says guilty, because we all fall short of it. And the consequences of that guilt are a death sentence. Well, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. But where is the victory? The victory is in Christ's death, who did earn the right to eternal life. He ticked all those boxes. He gave himself to pay that price. He was raised because he had no sin, and he was vindicated by God. And now death is defeated. Life is eternal in him. But you say, well, people still die. Well, what does Paul say here? When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, so shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, there's a sense that we know it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. There's a sense of now but not yet about this. We know for certain that it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Nothing in life is absolutely certain, is it? Nothing is absolutely certain. I was watching the cricket yesterday, and you knew all day England were going to win. But it took them, I don't know how many overs it was, but it was a little time before they actually crossed the line. And until that happens, until the fat lady sings, as they said, nothing is ever over, nothing is ever certain. But the absolute certainty of this life is that Christ has won us victory over death. It sounds a repetitive message, because we repeat the same message every week. Every time we look at one of these things online, or every time we come together, we repeat the same message. But it's a message that's worth repeating, because Christ has won the victory over death. It's just the only certainty that we have in this life. And it's the reason because we keep going, because we know our labour is not in vain. And it's why the death of a believer isn't such a painful thing as it is for those who are not believers. The parting is still the same. The sadness is still the same. But what we know for them is not the end. In fact, for them, it's the start of something extraordinary, something wonderful. I'll just finish with a few words came across from Mr. Luther this morning. He says this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? Does this mean that I should be sentenced to eternal damnation? By no means. For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ. Where he is, there shall I be also. Amen. We're going to sing. Well, we know we're not going to sing. We're going to sit and listen to folks from the Aberystwyth Conference sing, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Thank you.